Good morning, sunshine, and welcome back to another episode of Shine Buzz Daily, where it's all about changing your mind, changing your life, and taking inspired action to create the life that you want after a toxic relationship. And I forgot to mention raising your vibration. So today we are going to talk about 20 ways that you can quickly reset your mind after a toxic relationship. So let's catch a shine buzz. So I don't know about you, but I know for me, going through a toxic relationship left my head, my heart, my whole self almost destroyed. I didn't really even know who I was. Hi, Karen. After all of this, and it really brought me to sort of a moment of reckoning. Apparently, I have something on my nose. Brought me to a moment of reckoning where I started to realize that I didn't even know how to be, how to exist without having someone constantly attacking me, constantly keeping me sort of in check, right? And I think what happens to a lot of us as we go through this is that we end up finding ourselves either bored or going into deep depressions or struggling with anxiety or a number of other issues after we get out of these relationships, because maybe for our entire lives, we've been always having someone kind of on us, right? Someone sort of telling us who to be, telling us how to behave. So, hey, everybody. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you 20 quick tips to help you sort of reset your mind and change your life in that same way. So it's about keeping your vibration up. It's about keeping yourself in the right place mentally and sort of growing away from the need to be in a toxic relationship, because what it's really all about is empowering yourself, right? So here we go. So just for those of you who are new around here, what we're going to do is I'm going to do about 10 or 15 minutes of content, and then we're going to jump right into the chat and talk with you until the end of the hour. Okay. So we're just going to jump right into the content here. And I'm going to tell you 20 simple ways to reset your mind for a more empowered life. So number one, burn painful memories. What do I mean by this? Well, we talk all the time about, you know, writing a letter to the narcissist to let go of the things that we are holding on to get the closure that we need, because narcissists don't give us any closure and all of that stuff. So a lot of us are still holding on to old painful memories. Maybe it's photographs, maybe it's, you know, some piece of art or something that we got with this person, but we can overcome this by getting rid of or ritualistically destroying those items. So maybe you literally burn them, or maybe you just throw them away or give them away to someone else, but get rid of stuff that reminds you of the bad times. Okay. That's tip number one. And tip number two, if I can get to it, did I just mute myself? No. Okay. Tip number two, this is a fun one. Throw yourself a going away party. So what am I talking about? You're like, what? I'm not going anywhere. Okay. Well, here's the thing. If you kind of throw yourself a going away party, it's a really good way to say goodbye to the previous version of yourself, to the old you. And it sounds really silly, but it's a lot of fun. And you can do it by yourself or invite a few friends, but just have a going away party for yourself and say goodbye to the old you and welcome in the new you. While you're at it, throw a welcome party for the new you. Number three, change your environment, right? We all know that pattern thinking and bad habits tend to be tied to our environment. Or if we don't know, we know now. And obviously, you know, after a toxic relationship, you might not always be able to move away. You might be stuck in the same place that you resided with that person. And even if you're not, you can still do this. But what you want to do is maybe redecorate a spot in the house. Start with one. Maybe if this was your spouse or your partner, you redecorate the bedroom, or you move the bed to a different place and flip over the comforter and look at the other side, or whatever you can do. It doesn't have to be expensive, but anything that you can do to sort of change it up a little bit. Okay. Number four, identify your goals. So know what it is that you want from life. And this is something that a lot of us don't know. We really don't know. We haven't taken the time to figure out, well, what do I want? We know what the narcissist wanted, and we know what other people in our lives want because we care about other people in our lives, but sometimes we kind of put ourselves on the back burner. So take the time to sit down and figure out what exactly you really want in your life. What would make you happy? What would be the ideal situation for you in your life? And if you can do that, you will be able to figure out what it is that is limiting you, right? What are your most limiting beliefs? And then start to release those. Number five, use the fivefold why, right? So if you don't know what you want in your life, try the fivefold why. Ask what you want and then ask why five times. Somebody just mentioned this to me the other day. They said, ask why three times. But if you do this, it helps you get to the bottom of what you really want, right? So let's just say, what do I want? I want a cup of coffee. Why do I want a cup of coffee? Because I like coffee and coffee's really good. Why is coffee really good? Well, coffee makes me feel really good, and because, caffeine, and also it tastes good. Why does coffee make you feel really good? Oh, wait, caffeine, and it tastes good. And it's a habit and a ritual I do every day. Well, why do you do that ritual every day? Well, I'm just getting myself caught in circles because that's not a really significant thing that I want. But you get the point. Go through and figure out what you want and ask yourself why five times. You might be surprised at what this exercise will actually produce for you when you're not talking about a cup of coffee. Number six, try mindfulness to identify those limiting beliefs that you have. So we know mindfulness is that technique that involves watching your own thoughts. I like to sometimes call it intentional thought management or intentional vibration management. It's about not judging yourself or feeling anything, just observing your thoughts, right? It can help you to learn what your limiting beliefs are, and then you can start to change them. So just make a point of it. Give yourself 2 weeks and say, look, every day for 2 weeks, I'm going to be very, very aware of everything I'm thinking. I'm going to keep a close eye on it, and I'm going to, write down those limiting beliefs, and then maybe we can work on discarding those limiting beliefs. You see what I'm saying? Okay. And when I say limiting beliefs, I'm talking about things that you believe about yourself or about life that might make you feel like you can't succeed, or that might make you feel like you're not good enough. In fact, that might be one of the beliefs you have, that you're not good enough. And that is a limiting belief because you are good enough. I promise you are. And I know this because I spent many years thinking I was not good enough. And here I am today telling you that I am good enough. And I know this to be true. It took me a long time to get there, though. And I don't want it to take quite as long for you. So try this. All right. Number seven, challenge your thoughts. It's easy. If you have a negative belief, ask yourself, how realistic is that? Because the thing is, you don't really need to think that way. Is it really true that you're not good enough? I don't think so. Where did you get that information? One of the exercises I share with my clients all the time is, sit down and write down all the negative things you think about yourself. And then make a column next to that and write down who told you that about yourself or where you learned that about yourself, right? And then the next day, I have them cross off the belief and write what they actually want to be true or what actually is true. So, for example, with the simple belief that I'm not good enough, I learned that from this person. And the truth is, I am good enough. You see what I'm saying? Cross off the old one, add the new one. Good stuff. Number eight, hypothesis setting. Excuse me, testing, hypothesis testing, which basically means going out and proving that the thought is not accurate. So, if, for example, you decide, you know what, I think I am good enough, go out in the world and walk around and say hello to people and see what happens, or go apply for a job or go do something that you want to do and test the hypothesis that, in fact, you are good enough because watch, you'll see you are. Number nine, create new associations. So that means start working on creating better memories, more positive thoughts, more positive habits, and especially more positive beliefs to replace those old beliefs, like we just talked about. Cross off the old stuff and write in the new stuff. Start living that, right? And you can do this, that one affirmation that I say all the time to myself whenever I feel like I'm stuck or I can't. I have negative thoughts. I feel like something's terrible, but it's not. It's just my head. Then I tell myself, no, I now cancel that thought and I replace it with this affirmation of my true divine desire. And then I focus on something I do want because, or something that I'm grateful for because we, and that is whether or not it's related to whatever negative thought I had in my head. Because when we do that, we, you know, cancel the thought. Okay, that goes away. Now let's replace it with something good. It's sort of like dumping out a cup of expired milk and rinsing out the cup real good and putting in some fresh milk. That's a weird thing to say, but there it is. Number 10, you have to forgive yourself. So letting go of those painful memories, it doesn't mean you're going to forget. It's just, you're not going to live in the pain anymore, right? It also means learning to forgive yourself and having compassion for yourself. So stop beating yourself up. Stop telling yourself all the terrible things you think about yourself and start to throw those beliefs out and be compassionate to yourself in the same way that you would to someone else who you love unconditionally, a child, a best friend, a, you know, someone else that's amazing in your life, that you will, anyone you love unconditionally, talk to yourself in that same way and treat yourself that same way. I think I might have just doubled up on a tip, but that's okay. We'll get to it. Number 11, stay away from negative people. I know, right? Go no contact with toxic people or low contact if you can't go no contact. We all know toxic people bring negativity into our lives. And so as we are going through recovery, we are evolving and becoming better versions of ourselves. One of the most important things is to keep the toxic people out of our inner circle, right? So if you're stuck with someone at work or a family member that you can't go no contact from or an ex or whatever, give yourself some emotional space from that person. Don't let them be on your inside circle, right? The inside people should only be, and there might not be very many inside people because quality over quantity, all right? But keep your inner circle positive, keep your inner circle supportive. And anyone who isn't positive and supportive to your life in general, you know, if they need to stay in your life, put them on the outside. Don't let them be someone who affects you directly. Does that make sense? All right, number 12. This is a fun one. Get to some post-its. I should have brought some in to show you. And write little positive affirmations on them around your house. You know, it's a great way to remind yourself to think more positively as you walk around your house. And like, if you have an office or a cubicle, stick one up on your wall in there too. And I'll tell you something else. In my kitchen, I have a little whiteboard and every day I write something on it for my kids and myself, some kind of positive affirmation. Like yesterday I just wrote, you are enough, you know, and today I wrote, you are perfectly yourself in any given moment, you know, and it, sometimes I write better things than that, but I just write something on there and then they see it as they walk through on their way in or out the door. And it really makes, you know, it might not be that serious, but I really think it affects them. I noticed my daughter said something to me yesterday about, you know, wanted to talk about what does it mean that I'm enough? And we talked about it, you know, so little things like that can make a big difference. And I think I got that whiteboard on Amazon for like $15 and it sits up, it kind of unfolds, has two sides. And so it's kind of fun to have. All right. Post-its work too, though, and they're cheaper. Number 13, try fear setting. This is an exercise from Tim Ferriss, and it means that you write down your fears, and then you show yourself why they don't work, why they're not true, why they're invalid. You know, some people like to say, oh, I always like to expect the worst, you know, and then hope for the best. Well, I don't want you to do that. I'm not saying don't be prepared. I'm saying I want you to expect the best, because when you expect the best, you get the best, really. But definitely try this. Write down your fears and then figure out why each one of them might be invalid or overblown. Do you understand what I mean? All right. Number 14. I tell you this all the time. Write down the things you're grateful for. Now, you don't have to write them if you don't want to. Some people don't like to write them down, but I really feel like writing them down makes a significant difference. So even if you're not going to do it forever, get yourself a notebook and for 1 month, 30 days, take the time to write down every single day 10 things you're grateful for. And because you are a survivor working toward evolution, I want you to also add 3 things that you love about yourself. This shifts your focus and it makes you more grateful and happier. And maybe you like yourself a little more. And that becomes more of your default emotion. If you can do it for 30 days, I promise you, you will see a significant uptick in your life. Number 15, ask yourself, what would I tell someone else I love in this situation? Now, I know we've talked about this 100 times and I already kind of mentioned it, but I'm gonna tell you again. If you're not sure what to do, ask yourself, what would I say to my child or my best friend or my niece or my nephew or my grandchild or whoever else it is that you love unconditionally? Think about it. Maybe it's your best friend. Maybe it's even your dog. But, you know, imagine your dog as a person if that's the case. Just think about what you would tell someone else in the same situation, someone you love unconditionally and only want the best for, if they came to you and said, I have this problem and it's the same problem you have. It's a difference. What you would say to yourself probably is a lot meaner than what you would say to someone else, probably a lot less forgiving and compassionate. And like I said, you have to be compassionate to yourself. And this is one easy way to check yourself. Do you know what I mean? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Okay, number 16. We're almost there. This is a fun one. Dress for the life you want, right? Not just the job you want, but the life you want. Because here's the thing. When you, like, I don't know, let's say you want to be a movie star. What do movie stars wear? Start wearing stuff like that. Or if you want to be, I don't know what people want to be. If you want to be like a writer, that's a bad example. What do writers wear? Anyway, you get the point. If you want to be a certain thing, dress like that. I'm not saying that you should wear a chef hat out in public if you're not, if you want to be a chef and you're not a chef, but hey, get you one and wear it at home with a nice matching apron or whatever. Do you understand what I mean? Just dress for the job you want or the life you want. And then recognize that as you're doing that, you're sort of enacting the law of attraction, you know? And this doesn't have to be just clothing. It could also be maybe the way you do your hair, the way you do your makeup, or it could be even just the way you carry yourself. Do you understand what I mean? Sort of behave as if you have what you want already within reason. I'm not saying fake it till you make it. I'm saying start to manifest it in this way. You still have to take inspired action. It doesn't just fall in your lap, right? But something to think about. Number 17, smile more. Yes, smile more. There are many studies that show that just the act of smiling releases certain feel-good chemicals in your body. And it does. It has powerful impacts on your own mood. Plus, other people will be more likely to feel friendly toward you. They'll be more likely to just like you in general if you're a smiler. Smiling, you know, the chemical stuff, even fake smiling, they say, according to this research I've looked at, says that even fake smiling can bring you that feeling and start to release those chemicals. So I guess that's another sort of check mark in the fake it till you make it column, but I don't really love that term anymore. I used to really love it, but I know a lot of people feel weird about it. So, but yeah, smile. It's helpful. Number 18, adopt more confident body language. What am I talking about? Well, the same thing goes for body language that goes with smiling and everything else, is that it can change not only the way others see you, but even the way that you see yourself, and it releases more of the feel-good, powerful chemicals that make you feel stronger, feel more powerful. You know, for all of us, you know, everyone has testosterone, even women a little bit, and testosterone is released this way, and also the other powerful hormones that kind of give you the strength that you need. So start thinking about that. You know, there are those power poses, like the Wonder Woman pose, you know, and like the goddess pose where you put your arms up, all that kind of stuff. So those are silly, but, you know, stand up straight, shoulders back, you know, feel the confidence that just for right now, just in this moment, take a minute, sit or stand up straight, like there's a string pulling the top of your head toward the ceiling, right? And just to right now, feel how much better that feels. Now throw a smile on. Are you guys all doing this with me, or am I just being silly here? Try that. It makes more of a difference than you think. Again, it's almost like the fake it till you make it thing, but not, because what you're doing is you're physically changing the way you're holding yourself. You're changing the way that you're thinking about yourself all in this moment. And it really does make a difference. Even if you're laying in bed right now, I want you to sit up straight and smile and see how you feel. I automatically feel better just doing that. All right. Number 19, practice meditation. I know we talk about this all the time, but it really does give you the focused, calm, that you need to sort of rise above your troubles. But here's the thing. Again, I want to just remind you that you don't have to like sit there and do all like this, because it doesn't work for everyone. If it works for you, I'm a little jelly, but it doesn't work for me. For me, my head just goes crazy if I do that. But if I pop in my earbuds and I just walk a little bit, dance a little bit or whatever, move my body a little bit, huge difference. That is a good way for me to clear my head. Some people would rather just like stare at a white wall. Some people need to go out in nature and look at the trees or whatever. I don't care what you do. Whatever it is that helps you clear your head, we're going to call that meditation. Okay. Finally, number 20, recognize that your thoughts and your beliefs are significantly powerful. So choose them carefully. Know that they are so important because they shape your behavior. They affect your energy. And all of this has a way of shaping your whole life, right? And you deserve to feel calm, peaceful, happy, strong, powerful, amazing. Are you with me? All right. Now, my question for you today is, what is your best tip for sort of resetting your mind in any given moment? Share it in the comments or in the chat if you're with me live right now, and we're going to talk about that. And before we get into the chat, we are going to very, very quickly read, hello, everybody, read the cards. All right. And it's kind of a fun day because we have a new type of dialectical behavior therapy skills card. And this deck will be linked in the description after our presentation today. And you don't need to buy these though, because they are, in fact, I'm sharing all of them with you. And I have 12 more, I think, after 20 more, whatever. I'm on number 40 today. And it is an interpersonal effectiveness skill. This is our first one of these, our first interpersonal effectiveness skill. So what I want you to do is I want you to grab a pen and a piece of paper and write this down, because this is your assignment for today. And it says, observe body language. Most of what you tell, and this is perfect for this day again, most of what you tell another person is communicated non-verbally through your body language. Observe other people. What does their body language say about them? Then use your smartphone to video record yourself speaking. What does your body language say about you? Practice looking calm, friendly, relaxed, and confident. Try it today. Look, just do this. I know that you're not going to pick up it. A lot of you are like, nope, I'm not doing that. Try it. You don't have to do anything with it. Just, you know, set up your phone on a book or something. Hold on one second. I'm just going to. Sorry. Set up your phone on a book or something and go ahead and talk to it for a minute. Talk about anything. Just be natural and then watch it back and see what is it that, you know, are you slouching? Are you, you know, doing weird stuff with your hands? I'm always doing weird stuff with my hands. Just see what the body language shows you, if you can. All right. It's fun. It won't be that bad. And if not, you can always, just do it in the mirror, you know, but it's not as effective in my opinion. All right. And when you're doing it, don't use the side of the camera that's the selfie side if you can avoid it, because you don't want to watch yourself while you're doing it, because then you'll act different. Okay. All right. And finally, or next, last, I don't know, our super attractor deck, where we're going to get our daily affirmation. This is by Gabrielle Bernstein, and also will be linked in the description, but also you don't need to buy it because I'm sharing them all with you. All right. And today's affirmation, write this down, is, look at that card, isn't that pretty? Today's affirmation is, spiritual alignment puts my manifestation into motion. Awesome. Spiritual alignment puts my manifestation into motion. All right. All right. Here we go. Oh, what's for tea says she looks into the mirror and talks. That's awesome. Yeah. See, if it works, it works, yo. Okay. All right. Let's do this. Hello, Karen. Changing my life. Piper, my sister. I hope you're doing well, sis. Karen says, I'm glad I caught this live. Well, I'm glad you're here. Hey, what's for tea? Good morning, Angela, Sandra. Angela, Sandra, something, and Rita. Oh, remember that song? Okay. Anyway, squirrel. Kai is here. Michelle is here. Hello, hello. Hello, Jennifer. She says, this is epic info. Well, thank you. Angela says, I had a breakdown last night. I didn't even realize some of the things I felt. One being how worthless I feel, especially as a mom. Okay, listen, Angela, you're not abnormal. I think we've all had those moments, but try to see this as a breakthrough, right? Because when you recognize a problem and you become aware, okay, this is how I feel and here's why I feel that way. Well, listen, honey, that's the first step to resolving the issue. Okay, so stop that limiting belief of feeling worthless as a mom and think about all the positive things you've done as a mom. Think about changing that belief. Tell yourself, I am totally an amazing mom, or I'm a good enough mom, if that's all you can muster for now. But don't allow yourself to stay living in that belief that you're worthless as a mom because you're not. Okay, so take the time to. I want you to write that down. I want you to write down, I feel worthless as a mom, and anything else that you feel about yourself. And then I want you to seriously ask yourself, where did that belief come from? Is it because my mother told me I could never do it? Is it because my narcissistic ex was constantly belittling my mothering skills or whatever? Write down what happened and then cross out the bad belief, the wrong belief, and write the new, more accurate belief next to it and start to tell yourself every time you have that feeling, no, I'm going to cancel that. I'm going to replace it with this and do it. I'm telling you, it sounds silly and frivolous or whatever, but it's effective. Believe it and try it. It will work. Hello, Tanya. Good morning, Mora. Representing the mod squad. Let's see here. Karen says, it's like playing the game Operation. Yes. She said, every move you make, the narcissist or toxic person seems to buzz you with negativity. Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what they are doing. You know what I'm saying? They are trying to keep you down. And now, as you're moving away from them, as you're moving out of that stuff, hopefully, or you've been away and you're now trying to move into the next level, you don't have that in your life anymore. So it's time to like extricate all that old stuff, you know? And if you're still in it, take the time to look at that person and recognize them for what they are. See them as limited because they are limited. Recognize their behaviors, label them in your head. Okay, that's gaslighting, that's projection, this is that, this is that, because that sets you in a different mindset already. You're a scientist now, and you're seeing these things from a clinical sort of standpoint. And if you can do that from a, like a logical standpoint, not an emotional one, it really helps you to sort of separate yourself emotionally. And this helps you to be able to start to heal even a little bit, even while you're still there, but you're going to have to get out to heal fully, you know? All right. Let's see here. Uncle Meow Meow is back. Welcome back, my friend with the awesome name. And Uncle Meow Meow says, I'm starting to wonder if this is my cat from the next room. I'm just kidding. Uncle Meow. I just love that name. Uncle Meow Meow says, today is a better day. Hello, Angie and my new friends. Hello, hello, and welcome back, my friend. Jennifer says, I feel you, Angela. I think we all have mom guilt. Of course, we all have mom guilt. Any of us who have children have mom or dad guilt because there's always something we could do better. But just remind yourself that you're doing the best you can in any given moment and don't beat yourself up about the past. Just move forward with better intentions and better ideas and beliefs about yourself. You know what I mean? I had somebody tell me yesterday that they felt bad because they yelled at their child. They had just left their ex and they were somewhere and their child wanted to hurry up and leave. And previously they'd made a deal with the child that, if you let me spend an hour here, I'll let you spend 3 hours there with your friends. And the kid didn't want to wait and ended up crying. And it was a whole bunch of drama. And then this mom, accidentally said some things that she didn't probably mean. And now she feels bad about it. Well, she was trying to teach him patience and compassion for her and for other people. But in her frustration, she kind of said, listen, this is how it is. And so I told her, you're human and you're allowed to make mistakes. So just go talk to the kid. Tell the kid, he's loved, he's valued, whatever, but he still needs to be respectful of this deal that you made or whatever it was. So, you don't want to just coddle your children to the point that they aren't capable of compromise or respecting other people, because then you know what you end up with, right? So you want to teach empathy, but you just also want to have empathy for them, even when it feels difficult to do that. All right, I'm going to move on because not everybody here is a mom. All right, let's see here. Maura says she gets that way sometimes too. And she said, even last night. Now, I'm going to tell you something else, guys. I don't know if this is relevant or if it's even really true, but I think we're in Mercury retrograde or something right now. Our Shine Buzz astrologer has mentioned that a couple times. So I don't really know how effective that is on anything. I haven't really studied it to know anything, but that's a thing. Okay. Let's see. Happy Thursday, Flower Child, and welcome back. Angela says, thank you, everyone. I'm glad to know I'm not alone. I'm sorry you're hurting too. Tanya says, not a pity party, a going away party. Rearrange and know what you want. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Christina, one of our awesome members here, says, thank you, Christina, for being a member, and thank you for being here today. Angie, you are the best. Thank you. I appreciate you. LM says, I've been living with the remnants of this toxic relationship for 4 years now. I feel so hopeless, like I'm never going to change. I don't even blame him anymore. I blame myself for not growing. Okay. Okay. I understand that. And the truth is that you can sit here right now and beat yourself up some more if you want to for not growing for 4 years. My guess is you grew some, but maybe you could look at it from a different perspective and recognize that you didn't know what you didn't know when you didn't know it. And that's okay. Forgive yourself for the 4 years. Forgive yourself for spending that much time with what you need, doing whatever it was that you did. But recognize that today's a new day. And if you want LM, you can start right now and decide, nope, I'm done with this. I'm going to change my life right now. So are you with me? You want to start changing your life right now? Because you can. This could be the moment that you look back on in a year and be like, yep, that was the moment I changed everything. Because otherwise, what? You're going to look back in a year and be like, well, that's the same year I had the year before. Or you can make a commitment to yourself and start right this minute. Will you do that with me, LM? Let me know in the chat here. Are you going to try to just commit? I think you can do it. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you do start making these changes now, I want you to come back here in a month, a year, whatever, and tell me, yep, I started that day and things got better. Visualize that. Imagine that in a year from now, you come back here to this chat and you say, hey, I just wanted to let you know it worked. I did it because I know you can. All right. Moving along. Maura says to Angela, I try so hard to juggle so many things and be a good mom. Girl, you are not kidding. Maura is a busy lady. I don't know how she does it all. Nicole Angelita. Hey, girl. Hey, welcome back. Let's see here. Ask why 5 times, says Tanya. She's taking notes, I think, to wake up. Nargis says, oh, Angela, I'm feeling the same emotion too. See, we all have gone through that. This is not uncommon. I don't even think it's just those of us from toxic relationships. I would say every decent mom has a day, and dad has a day where they feel bad and they feel like, oh, I'm messing this whole thing up. But the truth is we can only do the best we can in any given moment, and we cannot dwell on the past. I could dwell on the past if I wanted to feel really upset and sad about it, but I can't because I still have kids to raise and I still have things to do. And even if your kids are already grown, you still have things to do with your life and you can't waste your time regretting the past. You have to keep moving forward. And so remember to not focus and stress about things you cannot control. That's really big and important here. All right. Let's see here. Rapunzel says to LM, do not blame yourself. Think whether you would say that to a friend if they confided in you the same situation. Be kind to yourself, right? Thank you, Rapunzel. That is exactly the perfect advice. Yeah. I'm loving the cats, Uncle Meow Meow. Maura says to Angela, I try to feed my daughter fairly healthy food and it's upsetting when I make all this healthy stuff and she won't eat it even when she likes it. That was just a little thing last night. Yeah, but again, Maura, you and I both know that it's not your fault that she won't eat it even when she likes it, you know, and so maybe you just had an off day and that's okay. But I'm glad that you're sharing this because I know that we all need to know that we're not alone in stuff. And so this is really helpful. Thank you. Hey, Bonnie, welcome back. Nubia, welcome back, my friend. Let's see. Yeah, Maura said that made me feel like why am I trying so hard? Girl, I know. Hey, Karina, welcome back. Let's see here. Angela says, Maura, it will pay off in the future. It did with my daughter anyway. Now she loves healthy food. Boom. There it is. There it is. Bonnie says strawberries and whipped cream. Piper says, whoop, yes, you're brave, beautiful force. Thank you for giving us the tools to believe the same about ourselves. I love that, Pipe. KB, hello. And let's see. Sandra says, how do you do that when you co-parent? You go low contact, if that's what you're talking about, going no contact. Unfortunately, we're stuck with co-parenting for a certain amount of years. At the end of that, you know, then you can go no contact. Or even when your child becomes a certain, you know, 16, 15, whatever, they can do the communication for you. But until then, you're going to have to deal with the person. Go low contact. So, you know, try to keep it as much, you know, in writing as you can. So texting or emailing back and forth as opposed to calling if you need to talk about the child. There are tons of apps out there that are court approved for communication about the child. And then, of course, all that stuff's on the record. So they're less likely to be rude to you in an app like that. And so that's a possibility. But basically, Sandra, what you do is you don't give them any of your emotion. You only talk to them about the business of raising that child, nothing else. So, you know, Johnny has a dentist appointment on this day. Johnny has, you know, a band concert on that day, whatever it is. And you know, here's the information that you need. Or I'll pick him up here or I'll drop him off there, whatever, nothing else. You don't talk about anything other than, you know, the medical care, the business of raising the kid, where the kid needs to be and when, that kind of stuff. And you don't share your emotions and you don't share yourself with that person. Don't feed them any more supply. You know what I'm saying? All right. Let's see. Maura says, she's talking about, we're going to come back to that. Maura talks about things she doesn't like or does like, but then she says that Maura is sick right now. So she might be a little extra sensitive. And that's another thing to watch out for. If you feel, you know, if you're not feeling well physically, you're definitely going to have more, you're more likely to have negative thoughts. So that's, I think, especially it's when it's especially important to be aware of this kind of stuff and to use the pattern interrupts to change the negative thoughts and focus more on the things you can control and the things that you can affect in your life. All right. Free to Be Me says, hi, Angela. Can you talk a little bit about panic attacks after narcissistic abuse? Yes, I actually just did a video about that. I don't know, earlier this week or last week. But yeah, I mean, again, I'm not going to go into all the details because I did this video recently, but essentially, when you're having a panic attack, you know, you do the pattern interrupt thing. You try to change, you know, stop yourself so that you can change it to something more effective. And you be compassionate with yourself and you try to figure out, why is it that I'm feeling this way? Where is this coming from? Is this a real feeling or not? You know, and work from that way. But do definitely after this, go watch that video. It was just, if it wasn't this week, it was last week. And I'm thinking it was last week that we did it, but we just did talk about this. Hello, Jillian. Welcome back, my friend. Representing the Mod Squad also. Appreciate ya. Mo Cowboy in the house, representing the Members Club. Welcome back. Jillian says, at least I have number 17 down. Hey, that's something. Starflower, what a great name. Starflower says, I just joined the chat and I missed most of it at the end. Can you write the list in your description after the live show? Yes. She said, I just joined on number 17. Yeah. Yes. Yes. I will definitely do that. Nargis says, I was wearing the uniform for the job I wanted to work at the hospital and I landed that job and I have no regrets and I'm so loving it. Yes, girl. Yes, Nargis. I love that. See, that's the thing. If you can't physically wear it, visualize yourself wearing it, or if you can physically wear it and really feel it, because that is really one way the law of attraction can sort of work to your benefit is if you start to feel like, hey, I have a hospital job, it's coming to you. Visualize yourself wearing the uniform. I love that. Thank you, Nargis. Mo Cowboy says he stood up and modeled. And yes, we're doing it. Thank you. I appreciate you. Nubia says, I feel better smiling, right? It's crazy. Jillian says, why not strike a pose? It does feel better. I do the Wonder Woman several times a day. I love it. It's true. It works. Let's see. Free to Be Me says, I read or heard you say that narcissists notice when you disconnect. How does this work? I'm just wondering. Well, they notice because you're no longer giving them supply. You know, so a lot of times we're gray rocking them when we're, something happens when you're on your way out and you feel like with my narcissistic mother, as I was getting ready to leave her, I was already gone. As I was getting ready to go no contact with her, and I'm not going to go into the whole story today. I've told it before, but she had called CPS and told lies about my family. And I literally, when I realized it was her, I literally felt something inside of me break, like almost literally. And I believe it was the cord of obligation, where I had previously felt obligated to her in any given moment, and then a little fearful of her, or a lot, if I'm being honest. And so in that moment, when I realized what she had done to my family, it snapped that cord. And instantly, I was no longer obligated to her. I was no longer afraid of her. And I told her exactly what I thought about her, and I went no contact. And she clearly saw what happened and freaked out and had narcissistic injury and narcissistic rage, tried to get my brother involved. I didn't listen to him either because he was also in on the whole thing with her. But regardless, my point is that certainly disconnection might not always be that direct and instant, but they will certainly start to see when you stop being affected by their antics. When you start to use the gray rock method, sometimes they raise their game and they try harder to get you to react. And if you don't, even better, they'll eventually get bored and move on or try something else, usually love bombing. So let me know if you have questions about that. Terry says, my best tip to think positive thoughts, try not to let anything stress me. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Good tip. Tina says, but what do I do when he keeps filing motion after motion in the courts? So he stays in front of me all the time. I can't forget him or the emotional torture because he keeps contesting every award. That is a tough one. I feel like the courts should stop him from filing over and over again. Do you have an attorney? I would say, you know, when you're not dealing with the courts, focus on what you can control. If him, you know, if he continues to file all these motions and you have to be going to court over and over again, I mean, I would ask your attorney, what can we do to make him stop filing all these false motions? Because you would think that the court would recognize each time that he does it, there's no basis to it. I don't know if Misty's here today, but she's our legal expert. So if you are in SPAN, or any of the SPAN groups, and you want to go in there and tag Misty with this question, she might be able to give you some additional advice on this. For me, I would say continue to gray rock the person. If you do have to go to court, don't look them in the eyes. And if possible, maybe your attorney can just go to court for you. I don't know. Let me know your thoughts on that. Shred Squad, welcome back, my friend. It says, bless you. Thank you. Whoop. Darn it. There it went. Every time, you guys. Okay. Karen says, my reset tip. I like to contact a positive friend or family member who knows my situation and let them share something in your life, let them share something in their life so we can celebrate together. I love that, Karen. That is great. Great idea. Mo Cowboy says, yes, yes, yes. Some days my inner dialogue is walk upright like a human. I love that. Body language is so important. It straightens the spine and the nerve communication in the body. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Thank you, Mo Cowboy. Wes Fertie says, I look in the mirror and talk. It works well for me. Yeah. So if you don't want to record yourself on your phone, try that. But recognize that when you're looking at yourself while you're doing it, you may not always, you may look different than you would if you just recorded yourself on the camera. And as someone who has to record herself on the camera a lot, I can tell you, you become very aware of certain body language and certain weird habits you have. And I still probably don't have them all caught at this point, especially not when I'm doing live video like this. But I certainly, when I edit myself in the videos, I edit out my breathing, y'all. It's ridiculous. Anyway, yeah. Okay. Nubia says, I sip tea and listen to jazz while writing poetry. Oh my gosh, Nubia, that sounds heavenly. I want to do that. I don't know if I'm that classy, but I love that idea. That sounds amazing. I love jazz, and I used to really, you know, back in the 90s and stuff, I used to really love to go to coffee houses and write, and that was just super fun. Okay. Rapunzel says, my dad's brother called me last night. I have no idea why he reached out at this time. Just another wake-up call to the load of cuckoo that is that entire side of my family. Rapunzel, if you have previously gone no contact with someone on that side of the family or reduced your contact real significantly, that uncle was probably calling you because he was acting as a flying monkey, where he was going to try to suck you back in on behalf of that person. But if I hope, I don't know, I guess I'm guessing you didn't maybe answer the call, but if you did, and this was just an additional affirmation that you made the right choice, look at it as a gift instead of an annoyance, and maybe block that uncle's phone number if you don't want to talk to him again. Something to think about. Jillian said, actually canceling and replacing thoughts has been perfect. That's awesome. And Jillian has really gone. I mean, she's been with me since she was, I think, were you still in the relationship when you got with me, Jillian, or had you just gotten out? Anyway, she's been with me a long time. And she's done amazing, amazing things in her recovery. So I'm really super proud of her. In fact, she's a co-author in two of my books. Two of them, Jillian? I think it's just two. Yeah. So check her out. She's awesome. Maura says, oh my gosh, yes. And it shocks you like the game Operation. Good analogy, right? That is a good analogy. I agree. Bonnie agrees too. Good analogy about the old game Operation and narcissist buzzing you at every move. Because, you know, somebody mentioned that earlier, in case you're just joining us, where, if, you know, when you're with a game, when you touch the side, when you're trying to pull out the heart or whatever, it buzzes and the whole thing, boo. And that's how it feels when a narcissist sort of buzzes you with negativity. Yeah. But here we're shine buzzing. So we're happy buzzing. Buzz, buzz. Okay. I'm sorry. Let's see. Shred Squad says, I'm still in the middle of it. It's been a rough 2 days. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I feel you. I hope that you're maybe working your way out of there. I hope so. But know that you're not alone, and know that we've all been there. And I hopefully that offers you a tiny bit of validation. Joanne says, hi, I keep FOMOing when I hear about the mod squad. That's funny. The mod squad is channel moderators, people that help so that if any bad people come into the chat, then they throw them out. Yeah. Or they delete the bad comments, stuff like that. Jillian says, just the act of doing the canceling and replacing techniques has really helped me focus on what I'm thinking about and why I'm thinking it. It has allowed me to see that I'm actually choosing what I think on, right? That's the thing. We have choice. And I know it sounds so simple. And I remember when I first heard this kind of stuff, I was like, whatever, but it's true. And when I really fully understood that I really did have control over the things I focus on, I can choose to focus on that or not. It was life changing. Really try this. It's, you won't believe the difference. It's huge, huge. The intentional vibration management, the intentional thought management, along with the gratitudes and the things you love about yourself at the beginning and the end of each day, just those things alone will change your life in huge ways. I'm not kidding. Jillian is living proof of that. Jillian says, oh my goodness, Mercury in retrograde. Perhaps that is why the roof came crashing down. That's a valid point. I didn't even think of that. Good thing you were able to handle that one like a boss. I've handled much worse. You know what I'm saying? Christina said, great answer. I'm not sure which one that was, but I hope you're talking to me. Jillian says, my favorite Angie technique is the one where when I hear negative echo from the narcissist, I envision him falling out of my nose. You guys know that one? Yeah, you imagine yourself climbing up a little ladder in the back of your head, and you see him in there in a chair. The chair has wheels on the bottom, or not, whatever. And you get behind the chair and you push it right out of your brain, and it comes right out your nose. That visualization enough alone is a great pattern interrupt, because it's going to make you laugh a little bit if you think about it. And also, it really does help to kind of clear your head and get that negative voice out of there. So thank you, Jillian. Good morning, Joy. Joy says, LM, the only thing that is worse than being with a narcissist now is being with him now and one more minute. Ding, ding, my friend. That is absolutely the truth. Corey, hello, Corey, and welcome. Corey says, my narc ex is not allowed to get visitation of our kids because of alcohol. She keeps failing your analysis tests. Will she ever quit? That's a tough one. Sounds like she's really in the depths of addiction if she can't stop drinking for her own children, or she is just really that self-focused. And I feel really terrible for your kids. But I'll tell you something, Corey. Even though I'm sure you're struggling with it because your kids are missing her, or, you know, missing just a mom, just do your best to be there for them and to sort of nurture both sides for them in the meantime. And if there's like another positive female figure in your life that you can bring in, like a sister or a best friend or even like a mom neighbor, maybe kind of talk to one of them and bring them in and maybe let your kids spend a little time with them or find a really good babysitter or something that's, you know, I don't know how old your kids are, but do something to bring a positive female person into their lives. And I'm not saying don't get into another relationship if you're not ready for that, especially not for that purpose. But look around your life and see if there's someone else in there who could help you not to parent your children, but just to be a positive female role model for your children, even if they're both boys or if they're all boys. They need to have, every child should have, if possible, some positive female role model, even if it's not a parent or a live-in person, just someone they spend time with, because we all just naturally want to attach as children to a male and a female parent. And so if a female parent isn't around, you know, if your mom's a good person, bring her in, or if, you know, even the narcissist side of the family, if there's somebody decent over there, bring that person in to spend time with the kids so that that way they see both sides. And if not, just do your best. Just let them know that they're loved. Let them know that their feelings are validated and relevant and real, and support them the best you can. And they'll be fine. Just let them know they're loved. Love them unconditionally and, you know, set boundaries for them. Make sure they follow the rules, all those things, but just be there for them. And no, teach them empathy so they don't end up like her, stuff like that. But don't let yourself feel like a failure because of her failure. You know, step up and become the best version of dad that you can be, you know? Sorry, my friend. Maura likes the nose thing too. Hey, Mike, how are you? Welcome back, or welcome, I'm not sure. Yes, Maura says, keep it all in writing. Yes. Jillian says, I'm so super grateful for these live chats. Angie, thank you so much. It is always my pleasure, my friend. Thank you. Mindy says, is it really okay or right to make the child deal with the other parent? This is really hard. Here's how I see this. If you believe the other parent is going to directly abuse the child, then you need to go to the court and say what you need to say, or talk to someone, you know, talk to some legal person and get that resolved. If it's a matter of, you know, ethically speaking, is it okay? Now, if the person is physically abusive or otherwise, you know, super emotionally abusive or whatever, I don't really think it is right. But we are limited by our legal system, unfortunately. And if that person chooses to use it against you, you have a problem. So do your very best to get sole custody if that's the case. I know with my oldest child, I did get sole custody. And my ex wasn't, he had the right to visit him on Saturdays with supervision. He chose not to. And that was it. And he pretty much fell off the planet. And he probably did the kid a favor. But here we are, you know, and he doesn't know that person. And when he was 18, he did reach out to that person. And he said all the right things on the phone. Yeah, we're gonna get together. We're going to know each other, blah, blah, blah. Didn't do any of those things. Didn't follow through. And I'm sure left my kid feeling worse than he did before. But unfortunately, you know, is it really okay or right? I can't answer that question unless we're talking about physical or extreme emotional abuse. But if we're talking about just typical narcissist stuff, no, I don't think it is, but we have to sometimes. We sometimes don't have a choice. Now, when the kid gets older and can speak for him or herself, it can get better, because then the kid can say, look, I don't want to hang out with you. I don't want to spend time with you or whatever. And sometimes the court will take that into account depending on where you live and what the age of the child is. But I don't know that it's right, but it is what it is. Maura says, that has helped me so much. Oh, that's awesome. Keeping stuff in writing. Yeah. Corey says, I'm taking Wellbutrin. It really helps. Okay. And sometimes, you know, people find that stuff like that does help. Other people choose to use more holistic stuff. I've told you guys before that for 6 months after I left my ex, I did take Prozac. This was many years ago. But I didn't know much about other options at that time. And I'm not sure that I would do it again, but I I will tell you that it certainly did affect me. It helped me in the moment, and then it stopped helping me, and I talked to my doctor and had myself weaned off of it. This earring is poking weird. Cindy says, what is the blue wrench by people's name? That is the moderator status. These are people who have been with me for a really long time, and they help me to keep the chat on track, just so you know. And what that means is that if somebody comes into the chat and starts acting crazy or spamming, these people help me because I can't always see the chat. Like when I'm doing the content at the beginning, for example, or sometimes I'm, as you guys know, I'm way up in the chat and the live chat is down lower. So I'm missing some of the stuff as I'm going. And so the moderators just, they help to make sure that it stays safe for all of us. So let's see here. And we call them the Mod Squad because Malta, who was one of my first, he was for a long time like the moderator. And he used to be here every day, and he invented the term Mod Squad. And I've always loved that. So that's why we call it that. Let's see here. Uncle Meow Meow says, unlike our narc exes, we have the power and ability to shatter our own cycles and create new ones. Yes. Yes. He says, narcs can't or will not change their situations. They despise having no control. You know what? 100% that's true. And I want to just reiterate this one thing here. By shattering our own cycles, by changing our own cycles, we break the cycle for people that come after us. Whether they're our own children or they're other people we affect in the world, we change things. We break the cycle. We go forward in a more positive way. And then anyone we affect after that can do the same thing and break the cycle for themselves. It's a beautiful thing. Okay. Where were I? Jillian says, when one of my exes in particular would ask me about my personal life, my stock answer was, you don't get to ask me those questions anymore. It worked. And I want anyone who's still dealing with a co-parent or, you know, going through the legal stuff that goes with getting away from these people, whatever, that is a great answer. I'm going to read it to you again. You don't get to ask me those questions anymore. And you don't even have to say it angrily. You can just be like, they say, you know, are you dating someone new? Well, you know what? You don't really get to ask me those questions anymore. And move on. Don't even respond any more than that. I think that's a great answer, Jillian. Thank you. Starflower is a song. Oh, I didn't even know. I should look that up. I love that name. What's for tea? Thank you. Corey says they're mods. They can delete comments and block people who are trolling. Ding, ding. That's right. Mike says, I despise trolls, right? Who doesn't? Karen Foreman says, a pattern interrupt method is tapping. Research more on YouTube. Yes, actually, Karen says, I just want to read her comment first. She says, I just learned about this and it's a scientific way to activate the calming center in your hypothalamus part of the brain. Yes. Here's the thing. I did an interview with Brad Yates, who does Tapping with Brad, I don't know, a little while ago, but if you want to see the interview, he actually goes through some of the techniques that he uses, and I did them with him and they were funny and silly, but they worked. So check that out. I did feel a little more calm after I did them. I'm not sure that it will work for everyone. I think you have to be sort of open and receptive to it to make it work, but it does work wonders for a lot of people. So definitely check that out. And if you're going to look for a channel on that, I would recommend Tapping with Brad. He's pretty good. And anyway, he talked about in the interview I did with him, he offered a technique specifically for survivors. And he talked about, you know, how he started doing this and where this all came from. And it's pretty interesting stuff. Yeah. Mike says he's been using Grey Rock with his narcissist father. How's it working, Mike? Let me know. Rapunzel says, I stopped sending messages to my father, but no idea if he's even noticed. I know. I'm sorry. You'll know when he does notice, because he'll come after you. Or maybe he's sitting over there going, oh, she thinks she can worry me, blah, blah, blah. You know, I know how they are. Probably there's a little narcissistic injury going on if he has noticed, but don't beat yourself up about it. Keep going. You're doing the right thing. And don't worry if he's noticed or not, because it shouldn't affect you. If you're done, you're done. You know, I know it's not always that easy. Nargis wants to stay, but she has to go. Bye, honey. See you later. Thank you for being here. Bonnie says, when you go no contact with a narcissist, they go ballistic. They can't stand losing that much control over you. Yeah, it's funny. When I went no contact with my narcissist parents, they didn't really, I don't think they really realized that I was serious until Christmas of that year, because they were trying to find out if I was coming to Christmas. And I made it very clear I didn't respond at all. And then I heard through the grapevine that they were going to send my brother to show up at my house and try to, you know, pull me back in. And I wrote an email, a brief email, and I explained to them why that would not be acceptable, and that if he did show up, the police would be called because he would be trespassing. And I never heard from them again. That, yeah, they do. They get angry. And at first, oh, she'll show up. She wants those presents. Da, 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 da. Nope. I don't care about presents, y'all. They don't know me at all if they think that. But anyway, yeah, that was that. All right. Oh, I hope I'm not frozen because it looks like I'm frozen on my screen. Okay. All right. Anyway, Bonnie says, oh, yeah, I got that one. Okay. Oh, did I see Malta in there? Or no, Jillian just said Malta. Yeah, yeah. He's awesome, isn't he? I lost my place. Nicole Angelina says there's a dollar sign. Do I have a PayPal? I don't see a link to give donations. Oh, yeah, Corey, you can do the dollar sign thing here if you want, or you can, there's a lot of different ways you can support me, but you can do that. We'll get to that. Okay. We don't need to do that today. I'm not here to make money from you guys. I'm here to help. I lost myself in the chat. I have no idea where I am. So, I want to read this, for the person that was talking about, the narcissist who files motion after motion. Okay. Jillian, who is an attorney by trade. But of course you're going to have to check for your own local laws, and this is not legal advice. I'm going to just offer her disclaimer up front. She says, if the narcissist is filing motion after motion, you can ask for a finding from the judge that he is a serial filer. And then Jillian adds, eventually the court should take note, and if anything, he will lose credibility. And you can also bring that up in the future oppositions. Kathy says, I'm 8 hours away from my family. I have a married son with a 6-month-old baby I haven't met yet. Oh, I'm so sorry. I send cards to the baby. Daughter-in-law has no contact with me. Should I ask my son if I should keep sending cards? Where's Kathy's other part? Because I might be causing them issues. I send money sometimes. Should I keep sending the cards or just stop? That's a tough one, Kathy. I would say send the cards. I wouldn't send the money, only because, you know, here's what I would do, Kathy. This is a great idea, actually. So my husband's family does this thing where they have created little savings accounts for the kids. And so instead of sending money in a card, they'll just say, hey, I put $25 in your savings account or whatever. And when the kids are old enough, they're going to be handed these savings accounts. I think it's a great idea. So maybe you do that instead. Maybe you go and you start a savings account in the baby's name, and you put, if you trust him, you put your son's name on there as the person along with yourself, who can also access the account, but don't give him access yet. Wait till the baby's old enough, but just as a backup plan in case something should happen to you, God forbid, before the baby is 18 or 25 or whatever age you put on it. And then instead of sending money, send a card and say, you know, I started a savings account for you and I put $25 in to start, or $100 or whatever it is. And, you know, that's it. And then each time you send a card, you know, I put $25 more in your savings account or whatever you're putting in there. And instead of sending money, because if they're throwing away the cards, they're literally throwing away your money. If they are keeping the cards, which I would hope that that's the case, then good. I would say, don't send a card like every week or anything, but maybe send them on the baby's birthday and maybe at Christmas and or Hanukkah or whatever on the holidays. And I would also maybe send I don't know your whole situation. If I did, I'd be able to give you better advice. But depending on what happened and how it all got this way, you might send your son a card too, and or even, say something like, I know that you don't want to talk to me, and I'm so sorry to keep bothering you, but I just want you to know I'm here if you ever need me, and I'll do anything I can to help you and your family, or however you want to say it. Again, I don't know. Even if they're not a narcissist, if they're in active addiction, they're going to act like a narcissist. And that's something to remember. So if she was previously perfectly fine and then she became an alcoholic, you might have thought she was love bombing you and then she turned into something else. But in reality, sometimes becoming the alcoholic makes, always, every time I've seen an addict in active addiction, they act just like a narcissist. And sometimes when they recover, they stop that. But sometimes when they recover, they don't. I have seen, yes, I have seen narcissists who were alcoholics recover and remain narcissists. And then they become addicted to different things like AA meetings or whatever. But that's certainly much healthier than the actual alcohol or drugs. So yeah, I have seen it happen. I don't know the whole situation with your person, but I have seen it happen where they do recover. It's possible. I hope that helps a little bit, Corey. Mike says, "Oh yeah, Bonnie, they gang up on us all at once. They all gang up on us once we put the dots together. Then they say they don't know one another. They lie and gaslight and use projection. Oh, all of that is likely true." Oh, Joanne says, "Ah, ceilings are overrated anyway." Okay, they're not, but hey, we won't get discouraged. All right, let's see here. Bonnie says, "Yeah, Mike, once you've got their number, they project what they are onto you, and then they try to convince others of the same. I feel like saying to them, I know you are, but what am I?" Bonnie, I just love you. yeah, that's legit. That's true. And that's this, they do the smear campaign and they tell everybody how terrible and horrible you are, all of that stuff. It's just how they are. But don't let it get to you like that, right? Don't let it get to you. Oh, see, I did it again, you guys. Oh, Corey says, "Thank you. I'm new to this channel and I love it. I have a 10-year-old girl and a 12-year-old boy." Okay, I can relate. I have currently a 12-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy in my house, my kids. So I know that. And I also have an older kid who's at Piper's house. He's 22. Or did he already turn 23? Anyway, he'll be 23, right? Just kidding. He's born in 97. Okay. Yes, Corey. Thank you. I'm grateful to have you here, and I'm so glad that you're picking up what I'm putting down. We do this show every morning at around 9 a.m. Central Time. So come back and talk to us every day. Well, Monday through Friday, not on the weekends. I take the weekends off. All right. Daisy says, "I love your videos. This is my first live chat. This is great." Right on, Daisy. Welcome. Welcome back. I'm glad you're here. Nicole Angelina, thank you, my friend, for sharing the information about the super chat. I appreciate you. Dude, trust me, says, "Oh my, thank you for sharing your heart with us. It is my pleasure." Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mora says, "Sole custody is hard to get nowadays if there's no blatant evidence of physical abuse or alcohol or drugs." That's true. That's true. But I'll tell you something. It is possible in some cases, especially if the other parent doesn't fight you, and some narcissists won't. Some will fight you tooth and nail, but some of them won't. Mine didn't. So, I mean, he might have tried if he had the ability to. But let me just say this: when it comes to my kids, I'll do anything to keep them safe. So that's all I'm gonna say. Mindy says, "Thank you. I'm wondering how your son did later on. It sounds familiar to my situation. I do have sole custody. I struggle with that question." He had a dad. I got remarried and he had a dad and he struggled in some serious ways. But today he's doing well. He is rooming with his Aunt Piper and he has a full-time job and he works really hard and I'm really proud of him. So he's doing well now. We all go through hard times, And we all go through things that are, oh, and by the way, living with Aunt Piper and helping by paying rent and stuff like that, taking care of himself as much as humanly possible. So it didn't all go as I hoped. It didn't. He had some, but We do what we can, and we can't change the past. We can't change all the things, but we certainly can grow forward and do better starting right now, right? So Mindy, I would say if you do have the ability to bring a positive male role model into his life, or, you know, I don't know your situation, maybe you can look into the Big Brother program or something like that. There are so many different ways you can do this. Maybe there's a healthy, you know, a good teacher or someone at church that you trust or whatever, someone positive that can be in his life that would be really helpful as well. But certainly don't beat yourself up about it, because if they're not, like, I really think having a narcissist as a parent, it's almost always going to be detrimental. I mean, there are certainly some cases where maybe they're milder in their narcissism, or they see that person, that child, as an extension of themselves, and they treat them better because of that. That's not usually the case. But in general, I would say having a narcissist parent versus an empty spot in that place, I mean, I almost think it's better to have an empty spot, if that helps. I don't know. Every situation is different. I would need to know more about your situation. Daisy says, narcissist mother and like a narcissist magnet. Why do I always want to fix people? Girl, are we the same person? She says, I see they are broken and I want to fix them time and time again. And all they want to do is break me. Honey, I can relate. That's how I ended up in my first marriage. And that's how I ended up with a lot of the things, a lot of people I dated over the years. I kept thinking I can help them. They're broken. I can help broken people. I can fix them. Well, it didn't occur to me until I was about 35 that you can only help someone who wants to be helped. And so a narcissist will certainly act like they want you to help them. They'll certainly pretend like they're taking your advice or whatever, but we all know in reality, they're not doing it. It's not working that way. And so that's why I'm here helping my fellow survivors, because I know you're coming here because you do want me to help you. You do want to help yourself. You do want to grow and change and do better. And so Daisy, I would say, look for people. If you want to help people like yourself, help people you relate to. Don't help people who are so broken that they don't want to be fixed, or people who don't want to be helped at all. You know, you will know, watch for the red flags, heal yourself first. And then you can start to really help other people in a different way. You know what I mean? I think when you heal yourself first, you learn how to love yourself enough to have strong boundaries. And once you have the strong boundaries, even broken people aren't allowed to step over them. You know what I'm saying? Something to think about. Let's see here. Everybody has a love for Malta, as do I. Mike says exactly. They can't stand us figuring them out. Exactly. That's right, Mike. We have the more knowledge we have, the less power they have. Mike, yes, that's right. That's right. April says, thank you, my pleasure. Shred Squad says, is banging your head against a wall a healthy technique? No. No, it's not. That's dangerous. Don't do that. Mike says working pretty well. Right on, Mike. Thank you. The Gray Rock method is working pretty well. Right on. Superior Deja says, any recovery tips on 15 plus years of a lot of recovery tips. But I think, I mean, I have almost 2,000 videos full of them. So if you can give me a little more specific question, I'll be happy to answer for you. But I would say get out of there first off. Yes. Okay. Wait a minute. Yeah. Thank you, Maura. That's exactly what I was. Yeah. I need to know more information. I don't know if she did tell me more information. Let's see. Did anyone ever answer my question? Was it the one about 15 tips or about the tips for 15 years? I mean, I would say if you're already out, start by taking care of yourself and loving yourself and being compassionate to yourself, treating yourself in ways that you should have been treated all along, but weren't treated. Recognize that you're not alone, that it's not your fault, and start to move forward. If you're not out, go to queenbeing.com/plan, P-L-A-N. Watch those videos, download those tools, use that stuff. It's free. All of it is free. If you are struggling because you've been out and you don't know which way to go, you're flailing, stick with us here. We'll help you. Watch the videos on this channel. There are literally 2,000 of them. Just search, go to the front page, hit click my name and go to the and type in whatever issue you're having, or go into the YouTube search bar and type Angie Atkinson and whatever issue you're having, and there will be a video. I almost guarantee it. And if there isn't, come back to me and tell me, and I'll make you one. All right. All right. All right. I am way over time. Oh, Starflower, that's your real name. That makes me even happier. It really does. Really does. I love that name so much. If I was ever going to have another child, I might name my child after you. As it stands right now, if I ever get another cat, I'll probably name my cat after you, because I'm never having more children. That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, you guys, I'm way, way, way over time, and I'm so sorry. 75 minutes. Craziness. Okay. Big hugs and love to each and every one of you guys. I am about to, oh, Joy says so true about the alcoholic thing. She says, my ex is wonderful until he started drinking every day. Now he went to being an alcoholic narcissist. I get it. Unfortunately. All right. Okay. Deja says, I've cut all ties, but I feel like since it started when I was so young, it's kind of embedded in my head. Oh girl, it is embedded in your head. It is, but you can fix it. And some of the stuff we talked about here in this session today at the beginning, that content, it will start to help. There's so much more, but I'm glad that you're out. I'm so, so glad to hear that. Come back and stick with us, honey. Stick with us as we go through this, and make sure that you do check my channel. There are tons of videos on my channel that will help you right now. Some of them are short, some of them are longer. I'll make you a playlist if you want. If you want to email me with your questions, I'll put together a little playlist for you and send it to you. All right. That'll help you specifically. Okay. I really have to go now. Big hugs and love to all of you. I will see you very soon. Yeah. Shred Squad agrees, by the way, would much rather have had an empty spot than a narcissist parent. Same, same. All right. Hugs and love to you guys. I'm really, really sorry that I'm all over the place today, but I'll see you tomorrow at around the same time. And if you have thoughts, ideas, or feelings about what you'd like to see in tomorrow's session, what you want the topic to be, please leave them. Hey, Freedom Lee. I didn't even see you till right now. Thank you so much, my friend. Freedom Lee is a longtime supporter and a dear, sweet person who is awesome and doing really well. Anyway, so what I want you guys to do is, if you have things you want me to talk about I would sit here and talk to you guys all day. If you have things you want me to talk about tomorrow, right now, hit me in the live chat, or if you're watching the playback, hit them in the comments below, and I'll be taking a look at those later today and tonight, and I will choose one of your topics if you let me know what you want. All right. I will see you very soon. Hugs, love, and doves, and all the good things. And as always, thank you for letting me be a part of your day and a part of your life. Thanks for being a part of mine. It really does mean a lot to me. I'll see you soon.